Hello, and welcome to the American Magazine podcast. This is Tim Reedy, and I'm very pleased to be joined today by Mr. Robert Briggs, the Executive Vice President of the American Bible Society. Welcome, Mr. Briggs.
Well, thank you so much, Tim. It's great to be with you today.
Well, it's very nice. We're here in the offices of ABS. We can look at Central Park here, so we have a beautiful view. But maybe you can just introduce the American Bible Society. I think it's something that's Christians and Catholics know about, but maybe for some of readers don't know what you've been up to recently.
Very good. Well, let me start with a quick review. We don't have time for a 200-year review of history, Tim, but I can at least give a quick overview. The organization started in 1816. And it was really a result of the need to provide Bibles to a growing population in this country. The founders of the American Bible Society, you would find, were those that were also involved in the founding of this nation. Such leaders like John Quincy Adams, John Jay, first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and other leaders in that period of time were also involved in American Bible Society. And so this organization has been committed over these centuries now with providing God's Word in a format that people can both understand and afford. So that has left us over decades with a great burden to provide Bibles. More recently, Tim, haven't shifted our mission, but we've certainly shifted our strategy as people have gotten to the point where they have Bibles and yet aren't always opening them and reading them. So our point of focus in recent years, as opposed to providing more Bibles, Tim, you probably have, I don't even want to ask, but several Bibles on your shelves at home. We'd want to encourage people to open those Bibles, read them, and hear God's voice through the words of Holy Scripture.
And we're excited to talk about today and to announce this collaboration with America Magazine. It's called The Living Word, Scripture and the Life of the Church. It's a two-year project, which you'll learn about in the current issue of America from an introduction from writer Matt Malone. Maybe you can introduce the collaboration and why it makes sense for you to make this connection with America Magazine.
Well, we're very encouraged about this collaboration, Tim. America Magazine has been in a role of championing the role of Scripture in the Catholic Church for many, many years. So it's quite an appropriate kind of collaboration, especially at a point in time in the Catholic community when there is even more attention, perhaps more than at least in recent history, to the role of Scripture itself in the life of the church, both individually and corporately. And so the American Bible Society wants to be available to, sort of report for duty, if you will, to help serve the Catholic community in any way we can, to help provide access to the Scriptures and help encourage the Catholic community in individuals and families and parishes to engage in God's Word, again, to hear God's voice through His Holy Word, and the collaboration, we hope, will promote those kinds of outcomes. So we're very, very enthusiastic about it. We think America Magazine is ideally positioned to partner together with us, and we look forward to these directions.
Now, I should say, American Bible Society, it's interdenominational. You work with a variety of faiths. In terms of your collaboration with Catholic organizations, is this kind of groundbreaking in a way?
I would say it qualifies as groundbreaking, yes. And we have made it a point of emphasis to serve the church in all of its expressions. Though we do have a history and from our origins as being more of a Protestant-oriented organization, in the last two decades, there's been a very intentional focus to adjust that course and ensure that we are recognizing that our mission is in support of all people and all expressions of the Christian faith. And so we've been very intentional about wanting to serve and be available to partner together with the Catholic community. We have excellent staff who are part of the Catholic community and provide excellent opportunities to serve in Catholic contexts. So there have been a number of points of contact with Catholic leaders. It was wonderful to have Cardinal Dolan here in this building not too long ago, and he was quite a, I must say, quite a character, but just such a distinguished leader. It was wonderful to be together with, Archbishop Etterovic, who was here, who was the, I believe, the General Secretary of the Synod of Bishops, and at least when he was here, and he talked with us about the remarkable process of the Synod that occurs periodically in the Catholic hierarchy. So we've had significant points of contact, but this particular partnership represents a more substantive and ongoing collaboration with a significant Catholic body like America Magazine. So we are recognizing that this is a fresh milestone, one that we celebrate.
Now, our series starts with this issue with an article on Verbum Dei, looking back at that important document of Vatican II, which tried to re-engage Catholics in the study of Scripture. But we're also looking to more recent events in the life of the Church. You mentioned the Synod. There was one on the life of the Scripture in the life of the Church a few years back. Also, Verbum Domini. I mean, these are things that you've been attuned to here.
Well, they've really gotten our attention, Tim, because, of course, we celebrate the introduction, especially in Vatican II, of really encouragement to the Catholic community to engage with the Scriptures, and we celebrated that at the time. But yes, more recently, just the emphasis and the encouragement to the Catholic community to recognize the power of the Scriptures to inform their personal spiritual lives and their family devotional lives, and as well as parish life and the life of the liturgy and so forth. These are all indicators to us of a fresh and deep recognition of the power of Scripture and the critical role of Scripture in spiritual life. And so when we saw the outcome of the recent Synod of Bishops that led to Verbum Domini, of course, we read it with great enthusiasm because of its very overt statements about the Scripture and the importance of Scripture that resonated with us. It's a message that we want to help celebrate not only in the Catholic community, but frankly, I think the spiritual leadership of the Holy Father can even extend across other components of the Church as he calls attention to the importance of Scripture in our understanding of who God is and what God has called us to be and to do. So a very, very powerful impact from the Catholic Church in the broad community of Christian churches as well. So we see this kind of fresh enthusiasm around the Scripture, not a new enthusiasm. That's certainly been in place since for the millennia, but a fresh attention and a fresh emphasis, which, again, America Magazine has been consistent with over the decades, but we see this broader message to the Catholic community that we very much celebrate.
Well, that's you remind me there of the new evangelization. That's another effort to kind of bring a fresh energy to the work of evangelization, and that seems like something you're doing here too.
Yes, and we look forward to seeing the full impact of that message, the new evangelization, and to see where the points of collaboration might fall there too, because a critical need and some of the data that we've been looking at, Tim, in terms of recent trends, even in the U.S. context, not so much the global South, but certainly Western Europe and the U.S., we are not seeing the trends moving in the right direction in terms of knowledge of Scripture, much less confidence in the veracity of Scripture and obedience to its instructions. So we don't want to be alarmist. We don't want to be, kind of shouting that the roof is caving in on us. But at the same time, we do want to call attention to the fact that there is a fresh need to reach this culture with God's Word, and we celebrate the strength and the leadership of the Catholic Church in carrying that mantle, especially to a new generation that's emerging without the kind of backdrop, without the kind of sort of undergirding knowledge of the Scripture and its message and content. So So we want to look for every opportunity to collaborate with the Catholic Church and all churches to call this generation back to a deep knowledge of and confidence in the Scripture itself.
Well, that's an excellent point. I mean, there's a moment here where we want to try to seize it and try to recognize if there are problems, we need to address them. But it seems like there are opportunities, too, and something that Father Matt addresses in his introduction, namely new media. This seems like a way that, A, America can learn from you, and something that you've been out on the forefront using new media to introduce people to Scripture. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yes, this is a tremendous opportunity, and we don't want to overstate this or oversimplify it or just think that all we need to do is set up a Twitter account and all of a sudden, you know, a younger generation will engage in the Scriptures in fresh ways. So we want to be careful that we take a sophisticated approach in determining what actually works. That is what we're working on. We're developing pilot initiatives to take the content of Scripture, which is unchanging, but to connect that content with the methodology for communication, which is ever-changing, and looking for ways to produce the same outcome, which is the transformation of the lives of individuals, families, and ultimately nations by virtue of engaging with God's Word and being a part of His, being aligned with His purposes. So we are testing methodologies in the arena of social media, for example, digital distribution of Scripture in some creative ways. And frankly, Tim, it's a little disruptive. It's, I myself will look at some of what we're doing. And I think, oh, my goodness, are we sure we want to push that far toward the edge? But we are asking God for guidance in using new methodologies to champion the historic and unchanging truth of His Word.
Right, and that's one part of our collaboration is that we'll be working with some of your new media folks to highlight some of the resources you already offer and maybe complement it with some of our resources. A simple thing like you can sign up via your website for daily texts that would point you to Scripture for reflection. So something that could be incorporated into your daily life, but in a way that, you know, everybody's got a smartphone, so it's fairly easy to do.
I love the idea of gathering these really smart people together, yeah, from both of our contexts and letting them sort of compare notes and collaborate and kind of a 1+1=3 sort of synergy that we're looking for. And so we are very excited about that. And, you know, Tim, what if, for example, we were able to take the powerful methodology of the Lectio Divina method of Scripture engagement, which we credit to really the Church Fathers and the Roman Catholic roots that developed this methodology of daily meditative, deep consideration of Scripture content. What if we combine that kind of discipline with the power of digital delivery, to where we were facilitating that practice in a very widespread audience and making it seem and look and feel very comfortable and relevant for a younger generation that's emerging. So we're looking for those kinds of opportunities, and let's watch and see, Tim. Let's watch what actually happens and see what works, see what God blesses, and then let's do more of that. And those things that we try that just are good efforts but just didn't quite hit the mark, well, let's leave those behind and learn our lessons and move on. But somewhere in the midst of these new kinds of collaborations is going to be what God will show us is the way forward to reach this next generation.
Now, you were speaking earlier of some of the challenges facing anybody who's trying to reinvigorate or reengage people with Scripture. The fact that you may have a Bible, but it sits closed on your shelf. Is it that people are too busy? Or, I mean, you also kind of referred to the fact that some people may be somewhat anti-Christian message. You know, they're suspicious of it.
Yeah, this is actually a deep concern and also motivates us to work together with America Magazine, a thought leader in the Catholic community, and because we really need to wrestle with these issues. There is a growing antagonism. So it's not just that we're busy. I mean, that's certainly a factor. But that would be an oversimplification to say that's the only factor, because something is occurring that's causing people to say, not only are we not interested in the Bible, but we don't like it. We think it's not good. And that's an even deeper concern. And we haven't had that in a pervasive way in the American context in our 200-plus years of history. So this is, to some extent, a new environment, a new context, which is why it's very, very critical that we work together in this kind of an arena. Because if we stay separate and just try to keep fighting our own battles and doing the best we can, that might work. I mean, it'll work to some extent, but not enough to really reverse this, what we're now seeing as a trend. We know, for instance, that some 20% of Americans, based on a survey that we do every year, are engaged with the Bible in a meaningful and regular way. That's the good news. It's just that the other 80% are either, you know, maybe they're friendly toward the Bible or neutral toward the Bible, but a growing percentage of them, about 17% now, are actually antagonistic toward the Bible. And if you skew younger, if you look at that's for the numbers I just cited are for all American adults. If you skew younger down to the 18 to 28-year-old age cohort, that number of antagonistic doubles. And we find that one out of three Americans in that age group are actually antagonistic toward the Bible. Now, that's not a good indicator of where our future is going. Therefore, let us take this into account, and let's redouble our efforts to sort of represent the message of the gospel, the message that's contained in the scriptures, in ways that are more winsome, more accurate, and can challenge this antagonistic view. It's a tough, we have a tough set of circumstances to work against here, and I'm certain that that's true in the Catholic community as well as across the Orthodox and Protestant denominations.
Yes, and I think it's something we're aware of in different contexts, where there has been, I'd say, for some time, the thought that it was difficult to be a thinking person and a faithful person, to be a Catholic and an intellectual. But that's something we've been trying to bridge for a very long time. And it's a similar, I mean, if there's this suspicion that, you know, engagement with Scripture is somehow anti-intellectual, that's something I think we can work on together to correct those misperceptions.
Yeah, the absolutely critical. So we have sort of yielded to some extent, I don't want to overstate this or sound overly alarmist, but to some extent, we have yielded the positions of influence and thought leadership to a secularized mind and heart that is not friendly toward the message of the gospel generally, nor the content of Scripture in particular. And so let us do what we can, Tim, to reclaim that territory. This is a battle that America Magazine is, we see you of fighting this battle effectively, particularly in the Catholic context, but your influence extends beyond the Catholic community as well. You are addressing thought leadership in the broader culture, and this is one of the reasons we're enthusiastic about this partnership, is because if we lose ground at the level of thought leadership in the nation, and if we lose the influence in the realm of those that are carrying the mantle, if you will, of leadership in the education sector, in the government sector, in the business sector, then we will not be serving the next generation well if we lose the position of influence from a Christian standpoint, and a Christian standpoint as a position informed by the Scriptures. That's what we are ready to sort of lock arms with you to do. So we clearly can't be the ones to come alongside and try to promote Catholic doctrine specifically. That's not the role of the American Bible Society. But we can work alongside the Catholic Church and the Catholic leaders, like America Magazine, to collaborate together as it relates to sort of battling for the minds and hearts of a generation.
Now, perhaps we could end on a note of hope. I wonder if you've been watching with interest Pope Francis. Somebody obviously had this major interview that appeared in our magazine a few weeks back. One of our commentators noted how steeped in scripture and scriptural imagery Pope Francis is. Even when he was first asked the question, "Who are you? Who is Jorge Bergoglio?" he says, "I am a sinner whom the Lord has looked upon." And he referenced a specific painting capturing a moment from scripture. So I wonder if he's perhaps somebody who might lead the way for us.
Pope Francis is conveying something to the broader culture and the broader world that extends, as you know as well as anyone, Tim, well beyond the Catholic Church. Now, obviously, he's got a duty and a you know, the privilege to serve in the Catholic context, but this Pope is clearly positioned to extend his reach and his influence into the broad arena of Christianity, as he demonstrates a respect for the undergirding sort of shared foundation for various expressions of Christianity, and also beyond the scope of Christianity, as he charts a course for a mutual respect for alternative worldviews, but a recognition that we must be able to articulate the Christian perspective and the Christian worldview in ways that are winsome, are life-giving, life-promoting, and uncompromising in terms of truth, but respectful and kind. And he is not only from the American Bible Society point of view, but I think the broader Christian community is seeing him as one who has the potential to create such substantial influence and really help the entire church strengthen its position. So Pope Francis will be good for the Catholic Church. Pope Francis will be good for the broad Christian community as well. And so we're watching for ways to serve together and again, lock arms and promote the cause of Christ.
Absolutely. And the fact that scripture is obviously so important to his message, I mean, I think that's a real point that we can seize on in our collaboration.
That's exactly right. And I absolutely commend you for your courage and your stepping into that role of providing that first comprehensive interview. It was exciting to see and remarkable to watch the impact of that interview. In fact, we were at your offices shortly after that issue came out, and you were all quite a buzz with all the all the activity that was stimulated because of that.
Yes. Well, Mr. Robert Briggs from American Bible Society, I want to thank you so much for spending a few moments with us. And we look forward to talking again as this two-year project continues.
Yes, let's stay in touch. It's a wonderful collaboration. We're very enthusiastic about it. And thank you, Tim, for your good leadership as well.
Thank you.